Tribute. Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor. A Go Loud original podcast.
Hey guys, my name's Niamh O'Connor and this is my podcast Unscripted, a Go Loud original. You probably know my face from social media, but if you don't, this podcast is a perfect crash course in getting to know me. Some weeks I'm joined in studio by some of our lovely guests and we discuss some really interesting topics. And the rest of the time, it's just little old me, usually dumping my trauma on you or having some sort of rant. And spoiler alert, a lot of them are unhinged, although if you follow me on social media, I don't think you'll be too shocked by that. And of course, I take a listen to some of your trauma dump voice notes and answer your dilemmas, or at least try to answer your dilemmas in the best way I can. If you're a regular listener, welcome back. And if you're a new listener, buckle up and get ready for the ride because it's chaos. Right, I'm sure you're sick of listening to the intro, so enough of me, let's get into the podcast. Hello guys and welcome back to episode 41 of Unscripted. Every single week I say it's crazy, but it actually is. Lauren, 41 episodes. Is that not like insanity? How have we done this 41 times?
I know, sometimes I actually forget that. It's like we're that far in and I'm like, oh my God, it's been like 6 months now. Yeah, what's going on?
Literally, do you know what I was actually thinking in the car on the way in? I actually don't need therapy because this is my therapy every week. Like genuinely, this is my therapy. Guys, I've had like a really, I say this every week that I've had an uneventful week, but I've actually been so lazy. Like, I don't know if I'm just going through, do you know, right, I'm going to start off by on a little rant, right? I have not been able to sleep at all, right? And I think that's why I'm so lazy. I'm so fatigued. I have suffered with sleep issues since I'm a child. Like, hopefully, fingers crossed, we might have my family on soon and they'll be able to tell you. But like, my auntie and my dad used to say that I've run on batteries. Like, I needed like 2 hours sleep a night and I'd be bouncing off the walls the next day. Sleep and me have just never been friends. But progressively over the past few weeks, I don't know what it is. It's just been getting worse and worse and worse to the point where it's like unbearable. And when I was a teenager, when I was like 18 or 19, I can't remember exactly what age, I always say 18 or 19, but it was one of those. I was actually prescribed sleeping tablets. And I didn't take them at the time because my family were like, what the fuck? Like, why are you being prescribed sleeping tablets? But like, this is how long this is going on with me and sleep. And it kind of, I feel like I have regressions, like I get a bit better and then I regress all the way back. So I decided this week I want to try melatonin. Now, I know you can get melatonin in Ireland by ordering it from different places, but I just didn't want to do that. Like, I'd rather do it under the doctor's guidance. Like, no offense, I know loads of people do that and that's fine. But because I'm taking it for severe issues with sleep, I was like, I want to speak to the doctor about it and I want to see what the doctor has to say. So I went into the doctor. Guys, I actually had the nicest experience. I said this on TikTok, so it might be a bit repetitive for some of you, but I had the nicest experience I've ever had in the doctors. I swear to God, it was, the woman was probably about 50 years old. And I feel like straight away, we kind of are a bit scared when our doctors are a bit older, because on topics like mental health and things like that, maybe there's not the same understanding as with a younger doctor. I don't know if that's like offensive to say. I'm really sorry if it is. But this woman completely proved me wrong. She was an older doctor and I went in and I was telling her, you know, like, I'm really, really suffering with sleep, and obviously it's visible that I'm suffering with sleep as well. Like, I feel like, do I have bags right now, Lauren?
Yeah, you look wrecked.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I feel like I'm literally look exhausted all of the time and I'm like, I'm barely able to do the bare minimum. Like, I'm literally dragging myself to like put my clothes away, you know what I mean? Like, it's, that's how I feel at the moment. So I went into her, we were discussing, she was like, have you ever suffered with like depression and anxiety? And I was like, actually, yeah, like, I've been on medication for anxiety. I'm not anymore. I used to be on Lexapro, I told you that. But I came off medication because just for me personally, I felt like medication, like,
oh, did I knock something up?
Yeah. The camera. Lauren, sorry. Lauren just knocked the camera over in the studio for anybody listening. The little screen.
You really have to kill and leave.
Yeah, you literally did.
Sorry. Mad.
Oh, my God. God.
Mr. Golan. There we go. Give out to me. There we go.
Well, thank God it didn't break. What would you do if it broke?
Wasn't me.
What was I saying there now? Oh, I was saying, I felt for me personally, being on Lexapro. I just felt like it wasn't like actually targeting like the root cause of the issue. It was just kind of medicate. And I think that's the biggest problem in this country, is that we have all the medication in the world, but we don't have the services. Like, there is no point. Sorry, no offense. I know there's probably going to be loads of people that are on medication. And I don't mean this in an offensive way, but I mean this in my own experience. And for me, I'm not speaking about anybody else's experience, and I can't speak about anybody else's experience. But for me personally, there's no point in me taking medication and not having counselling or not having anything that I need. So I came off the medication and honestly never felt better for a few years. I felt like I was actually dealing with my emotions. I was dealing with this trauma. I was dealing with it. I was feeling, was I upset? Was I crying? Was I manic? Yeah, but I was feeling these emotions, which was really, I feel like that's such an important part of healing, especially from childhood trauma. I feel like you need to feel the emotions. You need to have these like, bouts of like, you know, not knowing yourself and being just completely erratic. And as hard as it is literally a part of healing. And for me anyway, that's how I felt. Came out the other end, felt so much better off medication. And I was explaining this to her. I was kind of making it clear that I just don't want to be put back on any sort of antidepressant or anti-anxiety medication. And she was like, yeah, completely understand. She was like, do you think you have anxiety? And I was like, this is such a weird question for me, because I'm neurodivergent. I feel like my nature is just anxious. Like, I have an anxious nature, but I don't have, like, some of my friends have anxiety to the point where, like, they will literally get sick at the thoughts of doing something, and they suffer, like, very badly with anxiety, like vomiting and stuff. Like, I definitely am not like that, but I feel like I do probably have slight anxiety, but I feel like that comes hand in hand with neurodivergency. So anyway, we're sitting chatting, and then she's like, okay, and you're diagnosed with autism. We're sitting talking about my autism diagnosis. She's explaining to me how sleep kind of comes hand in hand with neurodivergency, because this is what she said to me. Guys, this is actually really, really interesting. So there's two things. People that are neurodivergent, sometimes your brain does not create enough melatonin. Your body isn't creating enough melatonin, which causes sleep disturbances. It causes you to not be able to sleep through the night, not be able to fall asleep, that sort of thing, which is really interesting. And I didn't know that. And then the second thing that she said to me is that people that are neurodivergent, everyone has a body clock, right? And everyone's body clock is meant to, there's this hormone that gets released into your body half an hour after you wake up, okay? And this is like the normal, this is like what the norm is and what most people experience. This hormone kicks in, and that's what kind of wakes them up, and it's half an hour after you wake up. So basically, people that are neurodivergent, sometimes this hormone doesn't kick in for hours, which can... basically, you can have a different body clock than other people. You know, a normal person's body clock might be 9 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night, whereas your body clock might be 2 p.m. in the afternoon until 6 a.m. in the morning. And I know for me, like, if I was allowed to live life the way that I wanted to live life, I would be nocturnal. Honest, I actually was nocturnal at many points in my life. When I lived in Turkey, I was completely nocturnal. I can't do anything in the morning. I'm a night owl. I want to do everything at night. But then because my brain is so active at night, it really, really like impedes on my ability to sleep. So she turns around to me and she's asking me all about me as a child and all of this. And she's like, I actually think that you have autism ADHD. And I was like, what? And she was like, no, people have said that to me before. Like, loads of people have said that to me before, especially people that are diagnosed. I think it's AUDHD, I believe. And loads of people that are diagnosed with that actually have said to me that they think that that's what I am instead of like just autism. So she was like, yeah, I think you have autism ADHD. And she emailed me where to go for an assessment. And she basically was like, I really, really think that you should go for an assessment, because it sounds like a lot of... So basically, one of the things that I'm experiencing, which is very, very common apparently in ADHD, is when I'm like about to fall asleep, I get this like wave of heat through my body and these hot flushes. And then the other thing that I'm experiencing, which is very common in people with autism, so this is why she's like, I think you have autism ADHD, is that now I sleep with an AirPod in my ear listening to a podcast, and I can't sleep without it. I cannot sleep in silence because my brain is just going too fast. But if I hear one noise outside of my AirPod, if I hear a bird chirp, if I hear Alex breathe, it drives me splats, and I feel like screaming. I feel like getting up and screaming. She was like, that's the autism. And then the hot flashes could be the ADHD. So basically, I'm the whole fucking alphabet. My brain is fucked. But it's so funny to me that I have lived my whole life, like, honestly, my whole life with, like, no help or no support. And apparently I have all, I don't want to say I have all these things wrong with me, because there's nothing wrong with me. It's just that my brain is a little bit different. But I have lived my whole life, like, having to go through this on my own. Like, where was all my support? Like, seriously, I'm actually furious about it a little bit, because I feel like I could have done so much better in school. I could have really excelled in so many different areas that I really, really, really struggled in. Like, especially school. School was a huge struggle for me. And I have some sort of, like, bitterness as well, anyways, towards, like, why am I only finding out these things now? Now, I did tell you, when I was younger, the doctor actually told my mom that he thinks I have ADHD and referred me. But my mom did not believe in ADHD. She used to call it bald boy syndrome. She said there's no such thing as ADHD. So she wouldn't bring me to, like, the appointments. So I just never got diagnosed. So I suppose there's probably been hints of it there since I'm younger. And then I rang my dad and I told my dad. My dad was like, well, I could have told you that you have ADHD. I was like, what? And he was like, I think everybody that knows you knows that. I was like, well, Dad, why have you never said to me to go and get a fucking assessment? Like, but I suppose people view it as well, that if you've lived your whole life, like, I always hear, like, oh, you've lived your whole life, do you really need the diagnosis? But for me, it's just, I feel like I've had so much healing to do from a lot of childhood trauma, and that I'm really, like, at the point where I'm like, I really want to understand myself. I really want to know everything that I can about my brain, so that I can help myself. I'm a very triggered person. I think we all know that. Everything triggers me, whether it's fucking left or right, it triggers me. Whether it's fucking up or down, it triggers me. Whether it's fucking literally everything triggers me, everything. And I feel like I've gotten so much better at learning, like, why it's triggering me and what, you know, the reasons behind why I feel triggered. But yeah, anyway, that's sort of a rant. Also, I got referred to the OCD clinic. I have to give them a call, because some of the traits, so she explained to me that any sort of neurodivergency overlaps with OCD, that you don't have to have OCD, like a diagnosis, to actually have traits of OCD. And certain things that I'm experiencing, like one thing that I'm experiencing at nighttime is I get up to go to the toilet. This is like a ritual. Get up to go to the toilet, pee, get back into bed, have one sup from my Stanley of juice, lie down. 5 seconds later, I feel like I have to pee again. And I'm getting up over and over again about 20 times before I'm able to sleep. So she was basically explaining that these traits, even though I don't have OCD, I could be experiencing some like traits of it because I'm neurodivergent, and that she thinks that this clinic will be really good for me, basically, in the things that I'm describing. But the point of me telling you this story is just that I feel like a lot of the time we hear negativity about GPs in Ireland, and rightly fucking so. But this was just the nicest experience I've ever had. I felt so heard. I felt so listened to. I felt like I've never experienced a GP that, like, for example, normally with something like autism or ADHD as an adult, you would have to say it to them. You know, they're not going to say it to you, and they're not going to pick up on it with you. They're just going to tell you you have depression and anxiety, you know what I mean, and put you on antidepressants. For her to actually pick up on it with me and read my body language and read what I'm saying and say it to me is such a big deal. And I know it shouldn't be. Like, we should just expect these things. This is like a standard of care that we should expect. But unfortunately, that standard of care goes under the radar a lot of the time. And I don't even necessarily think that that's the GP's fault either. I feel like our systems are just completely overrun. They are so busy. Like, in some GPs, you're waiting a week for an appointment. That means they have back-to-back appointments every single day. And so that's why I say I don't even think it's their fault, because my sister's a nurse and I know she does her absolute best for everyone. She's in Australia now. But when she was in Ireland, they're worked to the bone. They're literally worked to the bone. There's not enough services. Same with mental health services. Like, you know, there is the same thing I was saying about GPs kind of just being like, OK, here's medication, but we don't have the services to coincide with the medication. And I feel like for medication to work, you need the counselling. You need to work on your brain yourself. It's the whole thing is just a mess, guys. Anyway, that's my little rant of the day. And that's my main thing that happened to me this week. I got put on melatonin as well. I haven't really noticed a difference. The first night that I took it, I slept through the night, which I haven't done in months. I want to say probably a year and a half, maybe. Because me and my dad were talking about it, and I actually rang my dad about a year ago saying that I wanted to go to the doctor about my sleep because I was exhausted and I couldn't sleep. So this, that just goes to show how long this has been going on, which is probably why every week I come in here and my brain is frazzled and I can't think straight. But the first night I noticed I slept through the night, but last night kind of again, same shit. I did fall asleep easier, but I did wake up like three times throughout the night. But hopefully, apparently melatonin is something that you just have to stick with it until it builds up in your system or something. So, and it was, and I also got, they're like melatonin B12, because apparently B12 makes melatonin go into your body like better, absorb to your body better, which is, I probably need B12 anyway. The last blood test I got done, I had iron deficiency, and which I've had since I'm a child, and B12 deficiency, and I just don't take medication for it. I'm so bad, like I'm literally the worst in the world. But yeah, that's my little story. Right, guys, for this week's topic, I felt like I actually couldn't continue and do a normal podcast while there's children being starved halfway across the world, and an aid ship to go and feed those starving children has been completely intercepted, and people were taken illegally, a breach of international law. They were taken and taken off the ship. I feel like it's so dystopian that we live in a world where, like, even I'm able to come in here and vent and talk on my podcast while there is the UN are reporting that 15,000 children in Gaza are going to starve. I think it is so sad, and I'm actually going to do my best to not cry during this episode, because this honestly really, really, I have the autism that makes me very, like, I have the social justice and politics autism. I don't have the maths and science autism. So I find it really, really difficult to focus on anything else when things like this are going on in the world. And I actually, in order for me to actually even live without being totally like sucked up by it, is disconnect from it. But you can't disconnect from it. This is like, people are dying. So I think it's just a really important topic, and I think I just wanted to talk about it on my podcast. It's something very important to me, and hopefully, you know, if there's some listeners listening, use find the courage to find your voice in the situation from listening to somebody else. But anyways, basically, you know what's happening in Gaza. We all know what's happening in Gaza. This boat of 12 volunteers decided that they were going to sail and try and break the blockade and deliver aid, right? And a lot of this aid was baby formula, because as I said, the UN have said that 15,000 children are going to starve to death, basically, which is horrific. So this boat of 12, like, really brave volunteers. Like, guys, can we talk for a minute about how brave they are? Like, they are fully aware of what they're going into. They know the consequences. Another boat attempted this a couple of years ago, and they were actually killed. Like, every single one of the volunteers was killed. We know that a lot of the volunteers, medics and reporters have been killed. So I feel like it's incredibly brave. And I've had a lot of people say, well, what difference did they think they were going to make with that little boat? What difference are you making sitting making comments like that? They're making it's attention seeking. Are you telling me they risk their life to seek attention? Because I can tell you something, there's 100 other things you could do for attention that's not going to cause you to risk your life. It is just beyond me. But Greta Thunberg was amongst, I actually want to talk a little bit about Greta, okay? Greta Thunberg was amongst the volunteers. Now, I think the media owes Greta Thunberg the biggest apology. I think people owe Greta Thunberg the biggest apology, because she spent years advocating for climate action. And to be honest, I'm even going to call myself out on it here. I always liked Greta Thunberg, don't get me wrong, but I never really listened to her, because I'm going to be perfectly honest, I don't know a lot about climate change, and I probably don't care as much as I should, and I'm ashamed to say that. Like, I'm not saying that proudly, but it's not something that hit home with me. Does that make sense? You know, the way when somebody is saying something and it's not something you feel passionate about, you're not listening as much. But obviously now a lot more people are listening to her because she's speaking about what's happening over in Palestine, and it's hitting home with a lot more people, which hopefully as well will make people listen to her more about the climate action. So it could have a knock-on effect, because they've heard her now, they've seen her speaking about this, she's going to open the eyes of so many more people when it comes to climate action. And even me, I was watching videos of her the other day talking about climate action, which is something that I normally, guys, I don't mean this, like, I hope this is not a cancelable thing to say, but normally I would have zero interest in anything like that. And that's not a good thing. Like, I should care about our planet and I should care about our climate. But I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm just a bit immune to it. I don't know. But anyways, they got on this boat and they sailed. Liam Cunningham was actually there when they were departing. And we had Greta Thunberg. We actually had a sitting EU member of parliament who is also Palestinian. So loads and loads of volunteers from all over the world, like France, Turkey, fucking Germany. I think Germany. I'll have to have a look. But loads of countries, most of them being EU countries. I think all of them being EU countries, actually. So anyway, this boat of volunteers decided they were going to deliver life-saving medical aid, food and baby formula to a country in a forced starvation. And one thing that I just can't sit with is any Irish person that can look at what is happening, regardless of your opinion, regardless of your political stance. How can you, as an Irish person, watch a country go through the same things your ancestors went through and feel nothing and laugh? It is completely fucking beyond me. We are so privileged in Ireland to live in a country where we are allowed to say free Palestine. Like, do you know in 90% of countries, that isn't, they're not allowed to say that. In America, there is kids being kicked out of college for saying that. In countries in Europe, there's people being arrested for saying that, which is completely against freedom of speech, might I add. But we are so lucky to live in a country where the general consensus is that the people of Ireland stand with the people of Palestine. We don't excuse what's happening. And that regardless of the actions of one group, that doesn't mean you can collectively punish an entire group of people. Yeah. That's a war crime. That's literally a war crime. And we seen that in Ireland where the IRA would do something and then the whole of Ireland would be collectively punished. Like, even with the Black and Tans were sent in to look for the IRA. And instead of just looking for the IRA, they looked for all of these innocent civilians. They murdered people. They done unspeakable things to women and to children. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. Guys, this is something that I really do feel very, very passionate about. And I probably will be a bit splatty in this episode. But they got on this boat and they got intercepted in international waters, right? And it's really important to remember the words international waters. Because in international waters, Israel did not have the jurisdiction to arrest them. Israel does not have waters, okay? Let's start there. I have done so much research on this, okay? Israel does not have waters. They are a land, okay? They don't have waters. And especially not international waters. And in international waters, nobody has the jurisdiction to arrest an aid ship that is delivering aid and full of unarmed civilian volunteers in international waters. But they were arrested and they were brought back to Israel. Greta signed, apparently the organization that they went with had told some of them to sign the papers and some of them to not. Because basically these papers are saying, yeah, I illegally entered Israel and I accept this deportation. So Greta was obviously one of the ones that they had advised to sign the papers. But the sitting member of EU Parliament, Rima Hassan, she's actually Palestinian. Her ethnicity is Palestinian and she is still detained in Israel. So I think it's really, really, really important that every single one of us use our voices. If it is now a crime to deliver baby formula to starving children, stop the world and let me off. Like, actually stop the world and let me off. And you know the thing that was most dystopian about this whole thing? They handed out, they detained, I don't even want to use the word detained because it's piracy to go and take people off a boat on international waters. That's what it is. And it's a breach of international law. But again, every single one of our governments sit in silence and do absolutely fucking nothing. They're an absolute joke. I don't know why. I don't know what's going on in the world that nobody, that people, what's the point of having international law if countries are allowed to just breach it over and over and over and over again? I mean, we have the international criminal courts trialing Israel for genocide. Like, that is actually a thing. Like, that is not me just throwing around words. The ICC have charged Israel with genocide. I don't know if I can even say that word on the podcast, but anyway. And you have South Africa saying that it's an apartheid. You have the Irish saying that it's colonialism. Like, these are two countries that have gone through apartheid and colonialism, and the whole world's just ignoring it. Like, guys, it really fucking upsets me to the bottom of my stomach and to my core. Even Ireland, we are such a... In our country, we can say free Palestine. We can openly say that we want a free and safe Palestine for the Palestinian people, which is a lot more than a lot of other people can say. We're not a fear of losing our jobs, or, you know, even me coming on this podcast, you know, the privilege I have to be able to come on my podcast and talk about this. If this was in America, I could never. You know what I mean? So we live in a privileged country to even be able to say these things. But the point being that there's still, our government just doesn't care. Like, they voted to continue funding Israel. Like, 2 weeks ago, our government voted to continue funding Israel. They refused to sanction. They were like, it is just beyond me, guys. And it really, really deeply upsets me. And I feel like it's so privileged that we can all just continue to live our lives while there is people starving. Like, forget your opinion and forget your political opinion and forget anything. There is 15,000 children going to starve to death, according to the UN. And people think it's a joke. And people are ignoring it. It is just beyond me. I think as Irish people, we have a duty to speak up for these things. And we have a duty to make sure that history does not repeat itself. And we are watching history repeat itself. This is what history does. It just repeats itself over and over again. And people never fucking learn. What does it take for you to fucking learn from the history books and not repeat the same things over and over and over again? It is beyond me. Also, I wanted to talk a little bit about, because I don't think people actually know how strongly linked Ireland and Palestine are. And I think there's a lot of, because people say to me all the time, why do you care? Like, why, we don't look after our own, like, we don't care about the Palestine. Like, literally, shut the fuck up. But that's what people say to me. And there's some things that I think are really, really, really interesting. So back in the day that the IRA were fighting for Irish freedom and blah, 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 they were actually in close quarters with the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And they actually taught the PLO guerrilla warfare. And the PLO taught the IRA how to make fancy explosives. So they traded intelligence between resistance groups, right? And then there's so many more links, guys. The Black and Tans obviously finished in Ireland, I believe, around 1922. Let me have a look. Yeah, January 1922, they were disbanded from Ireland, right? This one is like, this shows how really close our links are to the people of Palestine. And they are literally our brothers and sisters. So the Black and Tans were obviously sent to Ireland to terrorize us. We all know that. Obviously not us, but our ancestors. After they were done in Ireland, they sent the Black and Tans to Palestine, because at the time, Palestine was under the British mandate. If you look at any map, okay, before 1946 or 1948, one or the other, the map says Palestine, okay? So let's just get that clear right there. But Palestine was under the British mandate. So here we have, again, the Brits causing havoc again, that this actually all ties back, again, to British colonialism. But we have the Black and Tans were sent to Palestine. And the reason they were sent to Palestine is because they wanted to create another version of Ulster within Palestine, which they done. That is what they done. That's the Gaza Strip. They actually did create that. But that is how closely intertwined we are. That A, our IRA were in touch with the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization. And on top of that, the Black and Tans were sent from Ireland to Palestine. And you have Irish people arguing that this has nothing got to do with us. Like, are you fucking kidding me? We have Palestinians flying the Irish flag as a sign of resistance. Like, is that not the most heartwarming thing? Like, imagine that these people are dying in droves, okay? They are dying in droves. I think it's really important to remember what it must be to grow up. Like, I always put myself in the shoes of growing up as a child in Palestine, watching everybody around you be killed, be bombed, be starved. Okay, imagine that life. Like, just put yourself in that shoes, regardless, I keep saying this, regardless of what your opinion is, regardless of what political standpoint you take, regardless if you are left or right, imagine growing up in a country where every single person around you is killed. Just imagine that for a second. That must be the most horrific thing. I could never, ever imagine it. But that's how our ancestors grew up. That's how they're growing up now. And we are just allowing this to repeat itself. Anyways, back to Greta and the flotilla. So they were detained. Some of them were kept in, some of them are kept in Israeli prisons. Other ones signed the deportation orders, and they were told to do this because I've seen people say, why did Greta sign the deportation? She was told to. And I can imagine the reason that Greta was told to is because she's probably the loudest voice. She has the biggest voice on that ship. So she can come home and talk about what's happened. And she said something that really has stuck with me. And I think we need a lot more Greta Thunbergs in the world. I really do. I think every single one of us should look at Greta Thunberg and take fucking notes, because that is what a good human being is. That is what a caring human being is. And I also want to make the point that Greta Thunberg is autistic. So I think people with autism are some of the best people in the world. I just want to say that here and now. And I think her passion and her advocacy for things that she believes in are amazing. Greta said a quote. Donald Trump said that Greta is a very angry woman who needs anger management. And Greta Thunberg said in response, I think the world needs more angry women. And I think that that's an amazing quote. I think the world does need more angry women. And I know it's so easy, guys, to look at these things on social media and just disconnect yourself from it. But I think it's really important that we actually just don't disconnect ourselves from it. I don't know if any of you guys have seen some of the reports coming out of Palestine right now of the babies who are skin and bone. Like, these are babies. They have never hurt anybody. They have never... I'm going to get upset now. See, I knew I was going to cry on this episode. Oh. These are babies. They have never hurt anybody. They are not part of any resistance group. They have never done anything to anybody. They have just been born. And their crime is being born Palestinian. Like, that's their crime. And I feel like as Irish people, we can relate so much to that, because our ancestors' crime was being born Irish. That was their only crime. And I feel like it just breaks my heart. It really breaks my heart to see how many people just don't care, or think it's stupid, or laugh. Like, I'm sure there'll be comments on this podcast laughing at me for crying about it, saying I'm attention seeking and I'm virtue signaling and everything else. And I just cannot understand that, because how can you see images of starving children? How can you see images of children being set on fire and being decapitated and then feel nothing? I wish I could feel nothing from what's going on in the world. Between that and other stuff, there's so many other things going on, absolute atrocities going on in the world right now. But I wish I could feel nothing. Life would be a hell of a lot easier. But honest to God, every single day, it's just, I feel like I don't know. Anyways, that's all. I felt like I couldn't continue to come in and have lighthearted podcasts without speaking about this and without speaking about what's going on, and just applauding Greta Thunberg, Rima Hassan and all of the other volunteers who got on that boat and risked their lives. Regardless, I don't want to hear, okay, one comment that's kept being said, the size of that boat, how much could they have possibly been bringing? It does not matter if they were bringing one can of baby formula, because that is one baby's life saved. It is so dystopian that we are living in a world where even one life is pointless. It is actually so dystopian to me. It is beyond bizarre to me. And I want to remind every Irish person, when you are looking at people that have a different colour skin than you and are a different religion than you as your enemies, I want to remind you who were the only people to deliver food to Ireland. Who were the only people to deliver food to Ireland against the orders of the Queen during the famine? The Turkish, who share the same religion as the Palestinians. Also, I want to make the point, Palestinians are, I think people think that every single Palestinian is Muslim, which should not matter as well, might I add. I don't know if any of you guys have seen, Pope Francis was a really big advocate for Gaza, and usually I am very critical of the Catholic Church, okay? But I actually think Pope Francis deserves to be made a saint, because every single night he rang the Catholic Church in Gaza. Yes, you heard me right, the Catholic Church in Gaza. So to the people that, I think the reason I'm making this point is that I think people are so detached when it comes to a religion that they don't understand or they're not a part of, which it just shouldn't be that way. But there is Catholics just like me and you in Gaza, and it should not matter. It shouldn't matter. Humans are humans. But I'm trying to make the point that what you see and the narratives that you hear a lot of the time in the Western media are not true. Did the Western media report that that Pope Francis was calling the Catholic Church in Gaza every single night, and that there's a Catholic denomination in Gaza? I didn't hear them say that. I didn't hear them say that, and I wonder why they wouldn't say that, because they knew that it's so bad to say, guys, and it's infuriating. But even the reason that Greta Thunberg got on that boat is because she knows that it's so easy for people to overlook war in the Middle East. It's so easy for people to look over genocide in the Middle East. We have time and time again. Look at what happened in Iraq. We had the Americans saying they were looking for weapons of mass destruction that never existed, and going in and killing a million Iraqis, civilians, blowing up towns, destroying the infrastructure, destroying their country. To this day, they're still not recovered from it. So we have watched this happen time and time again in the Middle East, and it is so easy to detach from it. But when you see, this is why Greta got on the boat, because when it is somebody that's European, you feel more. And that it should not be that way. That's disgusting. It is disgusting. But I feel like from when we are children in the West, we are actually programmed to overlook atrocities in the Middle East. Like, I feel very, very strongly about that. I feel like there's a lot of times when I look back that I seen stuff in the media, that I seen narratives being spewed in the media. The whole time of the Iraq war, I never questioned that. I never questioned what was going on. I just believed that they were looking for weapons of mass destruction. And what were they really doing? Mining fucking oil and killing civilians. So I don't know. Sorry, guys, that this is a bit of a heavy episode, but I just really felt like I had to talk about it. Over 50% of the population of Palestine are children. And regardless of what you think about what's happening between Palestine and Israel, those over 50% of children deserve a chance at life. The same chance that I got and the same chance that you got. The same chance that every single child deserves. No child is a criminal. None. None of those children are criminals, and none of those children deserve to be treated like criminals. And I really am begging every single person, please use your voice. Please, there's a template. I'll share it on my Instagram story again on the day this episode is released. There is a template that I used to email our government about what's happening in Gaza, about the flotilla. Please email our government. Make noise. Use your social media. It doesn't matter if you have 30 followers or you have 30,000. Your voice matters. Everyone's voice matters. Don't let anybody tell you that if you post about children dying, that it's controversial, because it's not controversial. I think if we have reached a time in humanity where children dying is controversial, then I actually want humanity to end. I'm so serious. End humanity right now. Because we've done something severely fucking wrong. We need to restart the world immediately. But yeah, my thoughts and my prayers are with all of the children and the families, the women, the men that are suffering in Gaza right now, that are being forcibly starved the same way that Britain forcibly starved Ireland. And yeah, that's all. That's all I want to say on that topic. Guys, I feel like that was a very passionate episode, and it's an episode that was very important to me. And to be honest, I feel like there's so much more to even talk about. Like, that isn't even touching the basis of what there is to talk about. There is so many atrocities that the Palestinian people are facing right now and have faced in history that to talk about. But I'm gonna leave it there, and I'm gonna hope that maybe my passion and my me talking about it encourages some of you guys to talk about it or to be passionate about it. Another person that I just want to say is to be commended hugely is Nicola Coughlan. I think that she's absolutely amazing. In Hollywood, they don't like you to talk about politics, and they definitely don't like you to talk about Palestine. She has repeatedly, over and over again, in their faces, ignored them. She has repeatedly worn her ceasefire badge. She has repeatedly spoken about Palestine at every single opportunity that she can. At every single interview that Nicola Coughlan has done in the past 6 months, she has spoken about Palestine. And I think that's something to be absolutely amended and applauded. I think I'm most proud of her. Of every single Irish celebrity, she is who I aspire and look up to the most, because she knows, like, she's risking her career. Like, we're not risking anything in Ireland, as I said. Well, I say that, but I suppose maybe we are. Maybe I live in an echo chamber of people that agree with me, and so I feel like I can talk freely about it, but I can't speak for anybody else who's maybe in college or in school or, you know, anything like that. So maybe you guys can let me know if you have had any, you know, pushback from trying to speak about this. But she knows she's risking her career and she doesn't care and she does it anyway. And I think that is so applaudable. And I think that more influencers, more people that have a following need to take on the attitude of Nicola Coughlan, because, you know, the thing is, brands can't punish us if we are all doing it. If we are all speaking about it, they can't punish all of us. And we all need to stand together, not just influencers, but everybody, everybody as a whole, just as human beings, for humanity, we all need to stand together. Because I think the thing that we forget is, guys, this could be us next. If this can happen to the people in Palestine, what is to say that this could not happen to us? If people can stand by and watch this happening to the people in Palestine, who knows? What is to say in 50 years' time that it could be our kids and our grandkids that are going through what they're going through now? Because we've watched them stand back and say nothing. And another thing is, I think it's really important for me that when I get older and my kids say to me, what did you do? What happened? Like, why was this allowed to happen? That I'm not sitting there going, I didn't know, because this is a genocide being broadcast to the whole world. The whole world is seeing this in real time. There is no excuse of I didn't know. Everyone knew. So what are you going to want to tell your kids, and what are you going to want to tell your grandkids, and what side of history are you going to want to be on? Because let me be clear, there is only one right side of history, and it's always standing against starving children. Okay, that's never, when has starving children ever been the right side of history, and why would it start being the right side of history now? But I just wanted to give some attention if any of you guys want to keep up with what's happening in Palestine and maybe educate yourself on Instagram. There's a page called Eyes on Palestine or i.on.palestine, and it's real time footage. I just want to say a lot of it is extremely disturbing, but I think it is really important that we watch the footage that's disturbing, because we are so lucky that we are watching it from our phone and we are not living it. And I think it's a privilege to be able to look at it and not live it. And I think it's important these people don't suffer for nothing, and that we are all seeing the suffering that they're going through. So that's the first thing that I wanted to draw attention to. The second thing, if you want to keep up with the flotilla, which is the boat that Greta Thunberg was on, it is the Gaza Freedom Flotilla, and that's on Instagram as well. There is so many different organizations that you can donate to help the children in Gaza. One of them being ActionAid, another one being SaveTheChildren.net, and another one being UNICEF. If you literally just Google donate to Palestine, then you will find so many different organizations. And I know people think, what does donating do? What does donating help? Do you know what? I'd rather try. I'd rather donate and try to help. So yeah, sorry guys, I know that that's a very heavy episode, but as I said, I feel like it's really important. I feel like I've come in here week after week and it's so easy to just disconnect and not talk about these things, but I really, with everything that happened this week and the flotilla being taken and the people being taken off it, I think that it was just really on my mind, and I just really felt like I couldn't do a normal episode without drawing some attention to that. So yeah. Guys, I'm going to let yous go, and I'm going to let yous go with some food for thought, which is Greta Thunberg's quote that we need more angry women in the world. Please, please don't ever think being an angry woman is a bad thing. We need more angry women, and hopefully some of you guys find your voices to be angry women, because angry women will save the world.
Unscripted with Niamh O'Connor, a Go Loud original podcast.